This may not be the most encouraging letter you've read in the book of Revelation, but yet I think it has a message that we need to grasp hold of as we start a new church year today, as we look at the joy of ministry next week. And so look what it says here. We're going to start in verse 14, I believe I said that, of chapter 3. It says, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say that it says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing. You do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. This is in a list of seven letters that was given by the inspiration of God to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Some of the churches are experiencing revival. Some of them are experiencing persecution. Some of them are just backsliding a little bit. And usually in all the letters, there's it starts out with a word of encouragement. Like when I have a sermon that doesn't go very well, somebody may say, Pastor, your suit looked good today. I think, well, so much for the message then. You always start out with something encouraging when you approach somebody about something that's where there's a problem. But yet we do not see that in the church of Laodicea. There's a problem here, and it says that the problem is actually with their labor. I know your works, he says, and they're neither cold nor hot. God's wonderful people. We're not going to sing that today. All right, I love the feel that I feel when we get together. Okay, love, labor that matters. All right. First of all, let's look at the state of their labor. The state of their labor. What is he saying about their labor? And it starts out in those first few verses there, and it says, I know your works, they're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Very offensive language for some to see this. Very graphic language, but it shows the seriousness of being a lukewarm Christian. Or a child of God whose labor is producing absolutely nothing for the kingdom of God. They're not benefiting from the labor whatsoever. This letter is written by the author here. It says in verse 14, it says, Amen. He's the true one. He's the faithful and the true witness. And they say there's no truth in our world anymore. There's absolute truth in Christ Jesus and God. He's the creator of all things. Matter of fact, it says, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, not that Christ was the first thing created. He was not created. He was always with God. But another translation in the accusative sense here would read, the one who begins the creation of God. So he is the author of salvation. He's the author of creation. He's the true one. And when he speaks, we need to listen to what he has to say, because apparently they're hearing a lot of things about from their culture saying, well, it doesn't matter what you do. As long as you've got wealth, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how faithful you are in your attendance to church. It doesn't matter what kind of church you go to. It doesn't matter what kind of religious institution you ascribe to. Just be faithful at something, and God, if there is a God, will honor that. That's what the culture says. There are all kinds of falsehoods out there. What the world tries to tell you, tries to define success in ways that the Bible does not define. And the state of their labor is in a serious, is experiencing a serious problem. I remember years ago when Paige Patterson was at Southeastern Seminary. He came into our class on the book of Revelation, and he was talking about this particular passage, and he told the account of how this could be visualized among the people of the Laodicean church, and how the fact that he says they're too cold would be significant to them because they're very close to the town of Colossae, which was known for their cold drinking water. Just like we buy water in plastic bottles now that's supposed to come from all these great places, and some of them come out of the city water tap, and they still charge you $1 for a bottle of water. But it's supposed to be the best water. Colossae was known for this drinking water. But by the time this cold drinking water would make the journey from Colossae to Laodicea, it would not be refreshing anymore. And it was meant to be refreshing. In its original state, it was refreshing. And God is telling the Laodicean churches that I desire for you to be a breath of refreshment to the world that's around you. And your service to the Lord, your labor should be refreshing to me and refreshing to those that are around you. Isn't it refreshing to see a child of God acting like a child of God, glorifying God with their life and their assets and everything about themselves? You can just tell they're in love with God. It's refreshing to see that. So they're not cold like they should be. They're not hot either as they should be. And I like the hot illustration, for it comes from the region of Hierapolis, which is up above the mountains from Laodicea. And up there in Hierapolis is where the natural hot springs are. And I remember preaching on this text one time in the past. And I actually brought us some pictures of Hierapolis and the streams that would come down the mountain from Hierapolis. It was full of minerals that was healthy for them. And I don't know if you've ever been to a natural hot spring or not. There's some around that you can enjoy, but it can be very refreshing, and it can be said that it has great healing powers sometimes. But yet, by the time the water would come down the mountain and make it to the area of Laodicea, all the mineral content has clung to the shores as it comes down, and they have these pictures. They're great. Just do a Google search for Hierapolis, and you can see these pictures for yourself. That they're not refreshing. It's not helpful anymore. It's just lukewarm. I wish you were hot. I wish you were cold. I wish you were refreshing. I wish you were helpful. But you're none of these things. And because of that, he says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. How horrible that would be. Have you ever taken a cup of coffee that you thought was hot and taken a big swig and found out it's not hot anymore? That's pretty nasty. I don't know how people drink iced coffee. I hadn't figured that one out yet. I hadn't tried it, so I can't knock it yet. But to me, iced coffee just sounds like an oxymoron to me. I don't know why. Or a drink that you think could be cold, and it's not cold anymore, and how you're surprised. Or you pick up something you think is water and it turns out to be Coke. Not that Coke is bad, but you're not expecting it. And what do you do? Whew, that's nasty. It's just not what you're expecting. It's not what it should be. The state of their labor is it's not what they should be. Matter of fact, it answers this question. So where are we now? Are we where we should be in our labors? Are we where we should be in our work for Christ? Because the Laodiceans were not there. Christ doesn't have anything good to say about them as he dictates his letter for John to record for us. Where are we now? That's the state of your labor. Where are you at right now? If you had to do an honest evaluation of your life with Christ and your faith and your labors and your works, again, not that your works are to earn God's favor, but it is pleasing to the Lord to see you be a faithful servant to him. So he's going to say to you, well done, and good, thou good and faithful servant. Where are we right now? Are you cold, which is a good thing, for it's refreshing? Oh, a lot of you have refreshed me several times with words of encouragement. Are you hot and helpful, and the words that you say to others doesn't bring division, but it brings healing? Well, some people have a natural gift for that, and some people don't. Isn't that true? Some people just know the right word to say, and some people don't. Those are the ones that need to be swinging the hammers instead of counseling people. So there's other ways you can serve. If you don't have the gift of grace in your discussion to build up someone, You know, there's still other ways you can still serve the Lord. But where are you at right now? Where are we at right now as we stand as a church? As we launch out into a new church year. Approaching 150 years in this church. What an amazing history this church has had. But where are we right now? The state of our labor. All right, there's an assessment of their labor found here as well. And we find that in verse 17. And it says, because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The assessment of their labor, now we see what the Scriptures have to say about it, we see what they have to say about it, all right? This tells us what's wrong with where we are now, all right? When we assess the state that we're in now, we'll say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? We're giving money to Lottie Moon. We're giving money to Annie Armstrong. We're giving money to the offering plate. The offering for the church has been some of the best I've seen in years, and with the economy like it is, that's amazing. We can say, well, we're giving our money. We're doing the things. What's wrong with where we are now? Well, there's two sides for us to consider this morning. First is their perspective. All right, their perspective says, put my glasses back on, because you say, I am rich. Because you say, I have become wealthy. Because you say, I have need of nothing. I remember a former pastor of the church talking about visiting somebody in the neighborhood one time. They said, I've got everything I could ever possibly need. What in the world did I need the church for? What do I need Christ for? I got everything I possibly need. And the odd thing about it is just a few years later, I'm standing there with his widow as he's lying dead on the floor in his bedroom from a heart attack. I even did the man's funeral. I didn't mention that at the funeral, but he thought he had everything that he could possibly need. He had all the wealth he needed. And folks, there's a lot of people who fall into this. I like the fact here that it says, I have become wealthy. I have become rich. I have become wealthy. That's what indicates that they're putting their faith and trust in themselves and their ability to accumulate wealth. You know, there's a difference in inherited wealth and accumulated wealth. When you inherit something, you just happen to be born in the right family and it works out great for you, and I don't know how much you appreciate the wealth that you have. But when you work hard for it and you make it work for yourselves, that can be an exciting adventure to be a part of. And God can bless in a great way. But their idea, their perspective is, as they say, look what I've done. It's not look at how God has blessed me. You know what it says about the rich man entered to heaven is harder than a camel going through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into heaven. Doesn't say a rich man can't enter into heaven because he can. But in their perspective, it's all inward. It's all what they've accomplished. It's all in their abilities. And they're leaving out the greatest blessing of their life in this God. And listen, he's talking to the church. He's not talking about the lost that are out there. He's talking to the church. No wonder he doesn't have anything good to say about their condition. They become wealthy. They have need of nothing, at least they think. Their perspective is pretty grim when you hear it as God puts it. And how would God look at your perspective on where you are right now, the assessment of where you are, their perspective? But there's a second perspective, and that's God's perspective as well. God says, well, they said they're rich. He says, you are wretched. When they say they're rich and become wealthy, they're miserable and they're poor. They say that they have need of nothing, but they're blind and they're naked. That's what I told some people Wednesday night. I said, think about calling the message the naked Christian, because that's what they are. That they're a church who's come together. They think they've got everything, but God says they really have nothing. God says they're blind. God says they're poor. God says they're naked. Now, Laodicea is known for several things. They're known for the thriving banking industry in their day. So they know all about money. They know all about wealth. They were also known for a medical school, and they created an eye salve that they could put on the eyes, and they could actually help people see better. They were well known for that in their day. They also had a thriving textile industry as well. So they know about clothes. They know about medical aspects can help with the eyes. They know about money. But yet they do not realize that they are indeed poor, blind, and naked. I was joking with somebody at the lake. Actually, I think it might have been. Yeah, it was Nick. Okay, I was talking to Nick about it. I said, I told somebody the other day, if they want us to reach the people at the country club, the church ought to give me a membership to go to the country club. And then the thought was something like, we want snobby people here. I'm not saying country club people are snobby, but we could use the money. That would come in handy and whatnot. And as I was thinking about it, it says, no matter how much money they have, whoever it may be, no matter how much money you may have, I don't think nobody's richer than I am, you know. I don't think nobody's richer with someone that's walking with Christ. I'm not bragging on my walk with Christ. I'm talking about your walk with Christ. If you're walking with Christ, you are a rich person. Amen. And don't let the Wells Fargo that indicate to you or any of the local banks tell you what you're worth. Your net worth is incredibly high. Amen. Because you're worth enough that Christ died for you. And I was almost in tears watching you baptize your daughter. That was so sweet. Bless your heart. And I thought that was a great demonstration of exactly what we're talking about. That's what you're worth in the eyes of God. Amen. And isn't that a great blessing? All this from God's perspective. The assessment is pretty poor for the Church of Laodicea. Yet it's poor for so many other people around as well who think, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing. But yet in reality, that they're missing out on the greatest blessings that God has to offer. Because their focus is just in the wrong place. How do we turn that around? What does he say? That's the assessment of their labor. The advisement of their labor. What advice do you have? You know, I'm finding out, I have found out over the years as a pastor, that a lot of people like to come to the pastor for advice, but nobody likes the pastor's advice when he gives it to them. And then they come back and say, well, I have my life straightened out some. I said, well, have you done this yet? So, no, I haven't done that yet. I don't want to do that. Well, that might be the problem right there. It's the same thing with God. Well, we cry out to God, God, if you just straighten out my life, if you just make this work out better, if you can just help my children act better, if you can make my husband be a better husband and not be cruel to me and all these other things, I'll be a better person. Or the husband, maybe my wife will have a better attitude, a new attitude. Just give me some advice. Tell me how to deal with it. Show me what the Word of God has to say. And I'll show them. And they say, well, show me something else. Have you got People Magazine or something else that's a little more up-to-date? That's what people think. Give me something a little more up-to-date than what you have here. Folks, this is more up-to-date than next Sunday's newspaper right here. It is accurate to the T, and it can give you the advice that you need. And the advisement to the labor here is clear. He says, I counsel you in verse 18 to buy from me gold refined in the fire. All right, so we've talked about their wealth. He says, I want you to invest in me. This answers the question, what do we need to do now? I want you to invest in me. My thing is coming off. All right, invest in me. I counsel you to buy from me. I like that. You have become wealthy. I have become wealthy is what they say. And he says here, I want you to buy from me. All right? So the dependency is on the supplier here, right? He's the one that has what you need. He's the one that has the true treasure that really counts. I want you to invest in me, he says. We need to invest in him. Amen. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Not on earth where the moths come in and thieves come in and break in and steal and rust corrupts and all this other stuff and water messes up your seats and all this other stuff. Folks, everything on this earth is temporary. And we need to have this mindset. As a matter of fact, I got up about 5:30 this morning, and I went out on the pier at the lake, and the sun hadn't come up yet. Had a full moon last night, and there were some clouds coming through this morning, and the moon was shining through. It was just a beautiful sight, and I was just thinking about what it means to invest in Him. The place we're staying at, and some of the families in the church have stayed there for over 40 years, is for sale now. Did you know that? Anybody got $1.3 million sitting around that you don't have anything to do with? So you could buy 21 rental units down at White Lake. But they were telling me, some of the locals were telling me, the old money does all right there, but new money can't do so well because you can't afford that kind of money and get a turnaround on your investment. And I'm thinking about, as I'm sitting there, and I think vacation is a good investment. It's good for your mind. It's good for your soul to get away from your normal routine. I'm all for it. All for that. But I'm sitting there thinking, how can I better invest my life in Christ? You say, you're the pastor. That's your whole number one duty, right? I said, well, yeah, it is. But how can I invest my life more in Him? The treasures of Him. The rich young ruler says, well, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And I've done all the commandments and all these other things. And one last thing you need to do, sell all you got and give it to the poor. And he walked away sad because he had much wealth. And it showed that his treasure was in the wrong priority in his life. Are you willing to invest in the things of God? Are you willing to trust in Him by investing not only just your tithe that comes into the church, and certainly we are thankful for that, but everything about who you are, your time, your talents, your treasure, your time, it's an investment. We invest in Him. We're going into a new church year. The Awana program is massive here, and we always can use more assistance there, and we'll help there. And it means an investment of some people's time to come and be here on Sunday evenings. Wednesday evenings when we have activities here at the church. It's a busy time. I'm thankful for the summer where we can get a little breather. But are you truly interested in investing in Him? Invest in Him. Accept His correction. And that's something we saw over in Hebrews 1 in chapter 12. We saw a lot of that taking place. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. If God is bringing correction to your life and rebuke into your life, in other words, if something about your life does not jive with the Word of God, we don't fight with God about His Word. We fight with ourselves about our sin and just trust in Him to take that sin away from us, confess it as the Word of God would tell us to do, and see that as evidence of His love for us. And again, we've talked about that, but just accept it. When the Word of God says there's something gone wrong in your walk, or when the Holy Spirit reveals to you that your life is out of sync or out of step with God, accept His correction and ask God to put you back on the right path that you need to be on. Amen. Instead of just looking for an internet site that supports what it is that you're doing. Because I guarantee you, no matter what you want to get involved with, you can find biblical support on the internet. Because you'll find somebody to support whatever it is wrong in your life, scripturally, out of context, not properly, but they will try to support it. But you take the Word of God as a whole and the message, accept His correction, and don't be afraid of that. And when you see that coming, it's a sign of His love for you. Fellowship with Him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is the great evangelistic passage, right? But look at the context. It's to the church. Christ wants to come in and be a part of their church. First Baptist Church of Laodicea won't let Him in. I'm standing at the door knocking. Nobody's letting Him come in. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Fellowship with Him. Oh, I can't think of anything better than fellowship with Christ. I love fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a wonderful thing to see that occur. A couple of weeks ago we had another lake day up at Falls Lake. You would think my life revolved around lakes, wouldn't you? But it doesn't. But anytime we come together, that's why Baptists eat so much. They like the fellowship together. They like that time together. It's great to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. But even more to have fellowship with Him. Oh, this morning, I was talking about sitting out there on that pier. I was out there all by myself. Nobody else was up yet. Let's see. Kenny and Mr. Langdon was about to come out and go fishing about any time. I knew they'd be joining me out there on the pier to get on their fishing boat and take off and whatnot. But I just sat out there, and I felt like I had the most company in the world. There you know, 70-something people back on the shore, but I felt like I was out there with God. And it's a wonderful thing. You need to have fellowship with Him. Are you having fellowship with Him? He's there. He's knocking. He wants to come in. He wants to come in the church. He wants to be a part of what this church is about. He wants to be a part of what your life is about. Will you invite Him in and let Him come in to you and let Him dine with you? Fellowship with Him. That's possible with an almighty God. That's possible. Isn't that something? I hope you don't ever get over that. So, and finally, we can reign with Him. To him who overcomes, verse 21 said, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I overcame and sat down with my Father on His throne. The day is coming where we can reign with Him. And that's, I don't even know exactly what that means, but I'm thankful that the Word of God says it's going to happen. And that's going to be amazing. Oh, God's got a wonderful plan for our lives. It's worth the work, it's worth the effort just simply to serve Him. It's a privilege to serve Him. And He wants us to enjoy our labors for Him. Like I said, next week we'll be talking about the joy of ministry, and all this will apply then. But I'm asking you this morning, are your labors really a labor that matters?